The title of this sermon is, What is Our Vision? What is our vision? Every once in a while, it's good to talk about what it means to be a healthy church, because God has not called us to be isolated from one another, doing life on our own, separate from one another. God has called us to be a part of a church as Christians. God has called us to live the Christian life in community with one another. And so since God has called us to be a part of a church, it's good every once in a while to have a state of the church address. It's good every once in a while to say, what's our business and how's business? Where are we headed as a church and how are we going to get there as a church? What are we supposed to be doing? How can we better glorify God? How can we grow in health as a church that pleases him and that accomplishes the purposes for which he instituted the church in the first place? And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to talk about vision. There's a lot of different aspects of being a healthy church. One of them is vision, is all of us understanding, everybody in the church understanding, what is the unique vision of our church that we all need to be united around. So what is vision? What's our church's vision? What's the difference between mission and vision? Just briefly, there's a difference between mission and vision. A mission is simply your purpose, the reason why you exist. It's the reason why God instituted the church in the first place. Every biblical Christian church should have the same mission. They might word it differently, but every biblical Christian church should have the same mission, which is essentially to glorify God by making disciples. Making disciples. The way we word it in our mission statement is to help people far from God become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So however you word it, every church, biblical church, should have the same mission. It's the Great Commission. Go out there and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them everything, teaching them to obey everything that I've said. Okay? Now, vision is different than mission. Vision is the unique contribution that God has called our church to make. It's the unique problem that God has called us to solve. It's the within the kingdom of God. It's the unique need that God wants our church to meet. You know, when we started Church Acadiana, there were already churches around here. Did you know that? A lot of great churches. A lot of wonderful churches. If you get to know me, I'm not a church basher. Because I don't want people to leave our church and go bash it to somebody else. All right, I'm not a church basher. I know there's no such thing as a perfect church. A lot of great churches in Acadiana. A lot of churches that believe the same thing we do doctrinally. Many of them are on the same page as us, missionally, have the same mission. So why did God call us to start a new church? Well, it has to do with vision. There's a unique contribution to the kingdom of God that God wants us to make. There's a unique problem that God wants us to solve for such a time as this. There's a need that was going unmet that God said, okay, I need to raise up a church that is going to meet this need in the community, in Acadiana, for such a time as this. That's our vision. And to talk about our vision, we need to begin with the symptom. I'm going to talk about the symptom, and then we're going to talk about the problem or the cause of the symptom. Then we're going to talk about our vision and how our vision is the solution to this problem. But first of all, let's talk about the symptom. The symptom. Here's the symptom, if you're filling in blanks. The church in America is losing the next generation. If y'all think I'm getting too fired up, somebody just go like this. Every once in a while. This is what I live and breathe, this stuff right here. This is my passion right here. So just tell me, simmer down, Pastor, simmer down. You're fussing at us. I don't mean to fuss at you. I just get real passionate about this stuff. The church in America is losing the next generation. Let me give you some alarming statistics. A 2013 study by Barna Research and the National Center for Family Integrated Churches found that 61% of 20-somethings who had been churched at one point during their teen years are now spiritually disengaged. This means they no longer read their Bibles, pray, or attend church. Let me say that again. So over 60% of teens, or 20-somethings who were churched during their teens are now spiritually disengaged. Six out of ten. Here's another study. Another study by the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee reported that 70%, so that one said 60%, this study said 70% of teenagers involved in church youth groups stop attending church within 2 years of their high school graduation. 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 kids who grow up going to church youth groups stop attending church within 2 years of high school graduation. Here's another study by the Southern Baptist Council on Family Life. It reported that 88% of children in evangelical homes, like the homes represented in our church, 88% leave church at age 18. The numbers keep getting worse. 88%, that's almost 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10 kids who are growing up in a Christian home leave church, stop attending church at age 18. Another study by Tom Rainer, who's now the president of Lifeway Christian Resources, he did a survey to see how well people understand the gospel. He asked a series of questions to see how well they comprehended the gospel message. And the following percentages of people answered the questions in a way that indicated that they were born again. If you were born before 1946, 65% of them answered the questions in a way that showed that they understood the gospel. 65% if you were born before 1946. If you were born between 1946 and 1964, only 35% answered the questions that showed that they understood the gospel. That's almost a drop in half. And if you were born between 1965 and 1976, the numbers dropped by more than half. It's 15%. Only 15% answered the questions that showed that they truly understood the gospel. And if you were born in my generation, between 1976 and 1994, only 4% answered the questions in a way that showed they understood the gospel. What that shows is that the younger the generation is, the less they're being reached. What this means is that the church in America, the past few generations, has lost the next generation. We are following in the same pattern. We are losing the next generation. Something has to change. Now, let me make this a little more personal. I grew up in a home with five boys, me and my four big brothers. I was the youngest. Most of you know my parents. Wonderful Christian people. They were then what they are now. Just love the Lord, love the church, people of integrity, people of passion. We were always in church. I deserve a big something after church for saying all that about you. We were raised in a great church, Bible-teaching church. Went to First Baptist Lafayette for 10 years of my life. Then we moved to First Baptist Youngsville, where we stayed until I left for seminary. And how many of my five brothers, how many of the five boys do you think today are serving the Lord in church, loving Jesus? One. Me. One out of five. Now, that's great Christian parents in great Christian churches. Let me make this a little bit more personal. For me, I have six children, as you know. Many of you have kids, and I want my kids to grow up to love Jesus and to enjoy the life that God has for them. I don't want three of my kids to grow up serving Jesus. I don't want two of them. I don't want four of them to grow up serving the Lord and loving Christ and enjoying God. I want six out of six. Amen? But the problem is that the church in America is doing a terrible job at reaching the next generation. The way that normal Christian parents are raising their kids and the way that normal Christian churches are discipling the next generation is not working. It's an utter, horrible, terrible failure. Something has to change. That's the symptom. Let's get to the problem. That's only the symptom. It's just the symptom of a more serious underlying problem. What is the real problem that's causing this mass exodus, this losing the next generation? Well, the problem shouldn't surprise you. The problem is disobedience to Scripture. It's disobedience to Scripture. And that shouldn't surprise us, because when you disobey God, there are consequences. Now, whether or not the church in America knows it, there has been mass disobedience to Scripture for the past couple of generations in the home. Here's what this means. The Bible commands parents to disciple their kids in the home. The Bible commands parents to disciple their kids in the home, but for the past few generations, parents have neglected this because the church has told them, you just bring your kids to church and drop them off. We got it covered. Let the experts take over. Let the youth pastor and the Sunday school teacher, we got it covered. You just bring your kids to church. We'll disciple your kids. Your job in reaching the next generation, parents, and reaching your kids is you just got to get them here. And so what parents have done, whether or not they know they've been disobedient, is they've delegated the task of discipling the next generation. They've dropped their kids off in Sunday school, they've dropped them off at home group, and they've just hoped that the job would get done. But as the statistics show, the job has not gotten done. When you neglect God's ways and God's commands, bad things happen. Let me show you some scripture. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. We're going to look at the Old Testament and the New Testament. I don't see anybody telling me to simmer down yet. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, the most popular, most important passage for Jews in the Old Testament, which means it's very important for Christians. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. And then there's Ephesians 6:4 in the New Testament. Now this is speaking not just to parents but to fathers in particular. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. I always say that means don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk that drives your kids away from the church, that drives your kids away from the gospel that you have embraced. Instead, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Discipline means teaching them how to behave like Christ. Instruction means teaching them what to believe about Christ. Both of these passages don't say, parents, you make sure your kids get discipled. Both of these passages tell parents to get in the driver's seat of discipleship. Parents are to be in the driver's seat of discipling their kids. And this brings us to the discussion of the nature of parenting in the first place. We're getting down to the essence of what is parenthood. The church in America has followed culture for the past few generations and has lost sight of what it means to be a biblical parent. According to the Bible, the essential part of parenting is discipleship. That is, teaching your kids to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. That's the central part of parenthood, specifically for the father. And this is how the church in America has been disobedient. Instead of discipling their kids, they've delegated, if they've delegated at all, but they've delegated that task to the church and perhaps the Christian school and just hoped that the job would get done. Now listen, I'm not against delegation. How many of you like delegation? Any managers in here? You probably like delegation too much. I like delegation. Listen, if I could afford it, I would have somebody cut my grass for me. But I'm not at that point yet financially. I would love to have someone come and clean my house for me so that my wife wouldn't have to do it. And my kids wouldn't have to do it. I would love for somebody to wash my car for me. I'd love to delegate that. But there's some things you just can't delegate. I cannot ask another man to date and romance my wife in my place. You can't delegate that, can you? I can't ask another man to have family dinner in my place while I'm off doing other things. I can't ask another man to take my family on vacation for me and play dad while I stay home and do some more work. You can't delegate some things, and I cannot delegate the discipleship of my kids to somebody else. Now, the church can help me. The Christian school can help me, can supplement what I'm doing, but I cannot delegate it. God has called me as the father to sit in the driver's seat of discipleship, to take control and disciple my kids. The Bible says that discipleship is central to parenthood. Now, let's just stay on that topic just for a moment. Why do you think God would call parents in particular to sit in the driver's seat of discipleship? Why wouldn't God just say, it doesn't matter who does it as long as it gets done? It could be Uncle Joe. It could be Aunt Susan. It could be the school. It could be whoever. It could be the next door neighbor. Just make sure somebody's discipling your kids. Why do you think God wants the parents doing it? Well, I'm just using some logic here, just try to be rational. I could give you two reasons why God would want it this way. Number one, parents have more influence on their children than anyone else. You know this, some of you are teachers in the public school system. Melanie, Stella, you know how important the parent's role is because you know you cannot reverse all the problems that the parents are causing at home, right? There's only so much you can do when a parent sends their kids to school because of all the influence a parent has. Parents have more influence on their kids than anybody else. Your child loves you more than anybody, respects you more than anybody, trusts you more than anybody. And that means that you as a parent and you as a father are equipped to be the best and most effective person, the best and most effective voice at teaching them the truths and the principles and the precepts of the faith. Nobody can have the effect, not me, not a hired gun at the church, nobody will have as much influence as that mom and that dad. Now here's a second reason why I think God wants the parents to be in the driver's seat of discipleship. It's because discipleship grows the parents. Discipleship grows the parents. Your understanding of something deepens if you have to explain it to somebody else. How many of you know this is true? In fact, the simpler that you have to break something down, the deeper your understanding has to be. So, Dad, Mom, when you find yourself having to sit down and tell your kids, teach your kids about the Trinity, and give a defense for your kids about the resurrection, how do we know Jesus rose from the grave? How do we know God exists? Why creation rather than evolution? What does it mean that Jesus is fully God and fully human, the dual nature of Christ? When you have to sit down and teach your kids these things, because you will have to talk about them, they're going to ask you all the questions you don't want them to ask you. Your understanding has to deepen. Not only that, but you know intuitively as a parent that your kids are not going to listen to a hypocrite. You know that if you have to sit down, your calling is to sit down and teach your kids to follow Jesus, to be passionate about Christ, to live a godly life, that your effectiveness greatly decreases if you're a hypocrite, if you're not walking your talk and practicing what you preach. And so what that does is that spurs you on. I got to step it up here. My kids, now that I've told my kids, you got to be patient and don't lose your temper. Now they're watching me and making sure that I'm not losing my temper. And so it really pushes parents to grow. And so it makes sense that God would command parents to disciple their kids. Let me put it this way. Something special happens when kids receive their spiritual instruction from their parents, and especially their father. Something very special, irreplaceable, something powerful happens when kids get their instruction from dad and from mom. It's a mystery, but it's something irreplaceable. Now that brings us to our vision. We've looked at the symptom. The church in America is losing the next generation. We looked at the problem, disobedience to Scripture. Parents have stopped discipling their kids and are delegating that task. Now let's look at our vision. This is where our vision comes into the church. This is why God has called us for such a time as this. Our vision is we want to be a church where parents are passionate about discipling their kids at home. We want to be a church where the parents are passionate about discipling their kids at home. At Church Acadiana, we're all about the next generation. Now, our mission is to reach people who are far from God and help them become fully devoted followers of Jesus. But which people far from God? In Africa? Asia? Shreveport? Alexandria? Scott? Doosan? Which people far from God are we called to reach and help them become fully devoted followers of Jesus? Well, we start with the people closest to us. So we're right here in Broussard, let's start in Broussard, and then in Youngsville and South Lafayette and maybe St. Martinville, and then in wider circles. Who are the people closest to us? How about the people in our own home? There's nobody closer to you if you're a parent with kids in your home. There's nobody closer to you than your kids. So our kids are our first mission. Our mission as a church to make disciples, it actually begins with our children. At Church Acadiana, we want to put discipleship back into the hands of parents. Now, this is something that I want you to hear from my heart, parents. At Church Acadiana, we believe in the power of parents. We believe that parents are the key to discipling the next generation. Parents are. Not me. Not a great church with lots of great programs. No. I'll tell you what the key is. It's parents. You are the key. You are the key. And so we want to put you back into the driver's seat of discipleship. Now, here's our strategy. Just to give you a little bit more. That's our vision. A church where parents are passionate about home discipleship. Here's our strategy. We exhort and equip parents for home discipleship and enable them to do church with their kids as a shared experience. We exhort and equip parents for home discipleship and enable them to do church with their kids as a shared experience. First of all, we exhort parents to disciple their kids at home. You know what it means to exhort? Nod your head, no. Not many people do. It's a weird word, but it's all three of them started with E. You see, exhort, equip, enable. I'm a preacher. I had to go with the three E's. To exhort means to urge strongly, to advise earnestly, almost to beg, to plead. We exhort parents to disciple their kids at home. We teach parents that God has called them to disciple their kids. Most parents in our generation have never heard that. Some of you in this room, this may be the first time you've heard me cast this vision. And I just want to just stop for just a second and say, I realize that this is blowing your mind right now. This is a paradigm shift. There's so many people out there, whenever they're looking for a church, the first thing they say, well, what do you have for kids? We have church. Same thing we have for adults. Except for we're teaching parents to disciple their kids at home. And so most parents have been taught that good parenthood is simply going to kids' recitals and games and getting them into a good Sunday school or youth group. We're bringing the church back to biblical parenthood. We want to teach that God values parents much more than our culture does. Culture says the same thing that Nazi Germany essentially told parents. Nazi Germany said, parents, Nazi Hitler, what he did was he outlawed homeschooling and he outlawed private schools. And he said, you have to send your kids to public school. Why? Because Hitler knew the strength, the power was in getting the next generation. So this is what Hitler said. His message was essentially this. He said, listen, parents, you feed their bodies, give them to the state, and we're going to feed their souls. Parents, that's essentially what our culture says. Our culture says, parents, you're not that important. Kids don't really need a dad, don't really need a mom, don't really need mom and dad, you just be a chauffeur, and you just bring them and drop them off. You feed their bodies, clothe their bodies, we will feed their souls. It's no wonder we're losing the next generation. We want to put the power back into the hands of the parents. It's up to you, mom and dad. So we exhort parents. Second, we equip parents. And that just means we give parents the tools and the resources. We teach them how. How do you teach your kids at home? We've got a whole part of our website devoted to this. We've given you the books, the resources, catechisms. In fact, I've recently been working on writing a catechism with 52 questions that'll be released soon that I think is the best catechism that I've come across. And I'll let you know when it's available to teach your kids with if you want to use it. But this catechism, it doesn't just talk about theology. It talks about the social issues of the faith, even the ethical issues of the faith. In other words, this catechism doesn't just say, who is God? It says, how do we know God exists? It doesn't just say, what is the resurrection? It says, how do we know, or why should we believe the resurrection? It actually talks about marriage. What does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about sex? What does the Bible say about how to honor God with our bodies? So anyway, I'll release that soon. We want to give you tools. Third, we want to exhort, equip, and then we want to enable parents to do church with their kids as a shared experience. Now, this is where our church is really unique. Remember, what normal parenting has produced and what normal church has produced in terms of reaching the next generation has utterly failed. Something has to change. You know, what's the definition of insanity? You keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting the same different results. Well, we're at Church Acadiana not going to say, well, we're passionate about the next generation, so let's just do the same thing that churches and parents have always done. No, we're going to do things differently. And so what we do as a church is instead of dividing the family, we keep the family together. In other words, if it's the parents' job to disciple their kids, we don't want you just to disciple them at home. We want your discipleship of your kids to continue when you come to church. We don't want you to just impact them at home. We want you to continue to impact them at church. This is called being a family-integrated church. We want our kids with us. Sunday worship, in home group, in volunteering, we want to disciple them. We want them right by our sides. Now, let me tell you the difference. The first thing that comes up when I talk about a family-integrated church is people say, well, why can't we do both? Why can't we teach parents to disciple their kids at home and at the same time have special classes devoted to the kids at church? Why can't we do both? Because it doesn't work. It's never happened. When you find a church who's really passionate about setting up classes specifically designed for the kids, what happens is the parents say, well, if you're telling me to bring my kids so you can disciple them on Sunday mornings and bring them to you on Wednesday nights and bring them to you on Sunday nights and you're discipling my kids, well, I guess I don't need to do it. As long as a parent is saying, give us your kids, we'll disciple them, parents say, I guess I don't need to do it. And parents don't do it. It's like the government, same thing the government does. The government says, listen, you need to be responsible and work hard and provide for your family. But if you don't, we'll take care of you. And so what the government has done with the modern welfare system is it has perpetuated poverty and immorality. It's encouraged it. It's enabled it. It said, you know what? Women, you don't need a husband to get pregnant and have a baby. The government will play daddy. And so the government has just encouraged and grown poverty. It's the same thing in the church. As long as we're telling parents, you disciple your kids at home, and we'll do it too. And parents don't do it. It just doesn't happen. Now, let's look at the role of a parent in the traditional model. What's the role of a parent in the traditional church model? Transportation. The role of a parent in reaching the kids for the next generation is transportation. You bring your kids to us, we will disciple them. I looked up the website of the third largest church in the United States this week, or the week that I was preparing this sermon, a few weeks ago. And I love the church. I love what they're doing. We're doing things differently. Love the pastor. I looked at their webpage on their children's ministry. What do they have for kids? What are they teaching about parenthood? What are they doing to tell parents you got to be discipling your kids? Absolutely nothing. What does it say about their vision for reaching kids? We reach kids. Basically, you bring your kids to us and we will disciple them. Nothing about home discipleship. Nothing. That's the traditional church model. Just transportation. Now, let me show you the difference. Let me show you a family-integrated model, our model. It involves not just transportation, but the first thing is instruction. 2, 3, 4 nights a week, 4 days a week, 5 days a week, dad preferably. But if dad's not there, mom can do it. But dad, 3, 4, 5 nights a week is sitting down discipling the kids, instructing the kids. That's instruction. Second, exemplification. When you come to church with your kids and you're doing church with your kids, since you're keeping them together, you are setting an example for them. You are modeling the faith for them. And the traditional model, you can't do that because they're going to their class, you're going to your class, they have no idea what you're doing. And so you are modeling the faith for them. And then number 3, observation. Not only are you instructing them at home and you're setting an example for them at church, but you're observing their faith. Since you're keeping them with you, they're sitting next to you, you get to observe their faith. Are they really into this? Are they taking notes? Are they singing along? Are they singing with passion? Are they interested in what the preacher is saying? Are they sleeping? Are they cutting up? What are they doing? You don't know all this stuff if you're sending them away from you. And since you're observing them, that helps you to better instruct them because you know who they are really and what they're about and where they stand with God. And so what you get is an intergenerational church. We don't send kids away at Church Acadiana and tell them, hey guys, you go play and you'll be the church of the future. When you teach kids that they're the church of the future, they're going to wait until the future to start to live for God. And the future may never come. At Church Acadiana, we say, kids, you are the church today. You worship with us. You fellowship with us. You come to home group with us. You volunteer right beside us. And so kids are treated as the church of today. And so they're empowered to live for God today. At Church Acadiana, we don't put kids in a room full of immature people and hope they learn maturity. That doesn't make sense. Instead, we think the best way to disciple kids is to have them sitting right next to their parents in a room full of mature adults. And what happens is it's just like sports. Anybody watching March Madness? Just me and Sean and Carter, Josie, all right, my family. In sports, Kylie, you know this to be true, you always rise to the level of your competition, don't you? When you play someone who's much better than you, you play better than you usually do. When we put the kids in our church in a room full of mature adults, they will rise in maturity. So, what's our vision? We want to be a church where parents are passionate about discipling their kids at home. That doesn't mean you have to be a parent to go to this church. That's just the unique future we're trying to create together, the unique contribution we're called to make. And if you don't have kids, you very likely will. Now, try to imagine this future with me just for a moment. Our church is relatively small right now. But let's say that every parent in our church got really passionate. Every dad in our church got really passionate about discipling his kids in the home. Imagine the impact that we can make. And imagine if all the kids in our church, and we have a lot of kids in our church. Imagine if all the kids in our church, they grew up. See, what you're doing is you're not just discipling your kids. You're teaching your kids a model of home discipleship. You're teaching your kids to disciple their kids when they grow up. You're teaching your kids this is parenthood. You sit your kids down and you say, this is who God is. This is what the Bible says. Imagine if all of our kids grow up and they are all discipling their kids in the home. And imagine if our church grows. Imagine if our church grows to be a church of 100 or 200 or 300 or 500 people, and all the church is passionate, all the families in the church are passionate about discipling their kids in the home. And they're coming to church, and they're doing church as a family, they're doing church together as a shared experience. Imagine the impact we can make in our community and on the next generation. And so if you want a vision to get excited about, it's not the vision of a building or a nice piece of property of our own. I'm sure those things will come eventually. Usually a church gets their own building and their own property. We're saving up for that. Still waiting on one of you guys to admit that you're a multimillionaire and help us out there. But that's not the vision to get excited about. The vision of our church to get excited about is sitting in this room with us. It's the next generation and discipling them. And so I want to exhort you today to get passionate about this vision. Get passionate about the vision of our church, and get passionate, parents, about discipling your kids in home. Get passionate about your role as a parent. When we first started the church, there was a woman from another church who got mad at me. A lot of people get mad at me, but this woman got mad at me for a weird reason. She was mad at me because she thought we were starting a, she felt threatened by me and by our church. She felt like we were starting a new church to steal members from her church. She said, well, there are already good churches in town. Why start a new church? This is why. There's a unique contribution that God has called us to make. There's a movement growing across our country. Pastors and church leaders and fathers are getting passionate about home discipleship, getting passionate about keeping families together in church. It is growing all across our country and all across the world right now. They're going back to the biblical model for reaching the next generation. But it's very, very new in Acadiana. In fact, I went to this website. It's the Association of Family Integrated Churches, and you can register your church as a family integrated church. Guess how many churches from the state of Louisiana are registered? Church Acadiana. God has not called us to follow, to duplicate, to imitate, or to replicate. He's called us to lead. Not to do what all the other churches in town are doing, but to say, God, who have you called us to be? What have you called us to do? And when you really listen, God will give you a vision that's unique and that really solves a problem. But we got to get passionate. We got to get unified. So the problem is disobedience. The symptom is the church in America is losing the next generation. The solution is our vision. We need to be a church that's passionate about reaching the next generation. We're going to exhort and equip parents for home discipleship and enable them to do church as a shared experience. Now you know, now we're together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for the vision of our church. We thank you so much, Lord, for the next generation, for the kids seated among us. We just pray for their salvation, for their discipleship. We pray that you help us to be good stewards, great stewards. We pray, Lord, for the families in this room, for the parents who are called to disciple their kids, Lord, that you would fill their hearts with passion for the weight of this calling and help them, Lord, to step up to the challenge and to the privilege of making an eternal difference in the lives of their kids. Father, I pray that this vision catches fire in our church and spreads, and then beyond our church to the whole community, to the whole area, that other churches would catch on to this, Lord, and get passionate about the next generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.